Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9490. We're going back to all your phone calls here, and we'll get to the Phillies as well. Red October starts Saturday.
Darr.
Mets, maybe. Mets up 1-0 on the Brewers. We'll get to all that. But right now, Kyle, joining us in studio is our next guest, Seth Joyner.
Yeah, and Seth's sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. Pre- and post-game with Seth Joyner at Parks Casino for every Birds game all season. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Seth, welcome. Where do we start?
Seth always be dressed all nice on that gambling. So you see him out there with the nice little ties and the nice little suits. You be wearing that mouth is, dog.
Hey, man, that's the way you do it. If you're going to be on TV, you need to look the part.
That's why I don't be on TV, dog.
He's on the radio.
That's why I do radio.
Pajamas and towels, he's ready to go. All right, Seth, where do we start? That was a rough one Sunday. What hit you watching the defense play on Sunday, or not play, or whatever the heck they were trying to do out there? Like, what was the biggest problem in your mind Sunday defensively?
I think the lack of preparedness and Vic Fangio's unwillingness to adjust on the fly. You know, you had to know with Baker Mayfield taking on 12 sacks in the first three games of the season that the game plan was going to be to get the ball out of his hands. So when you look at the film and all of a sudden, you know, the cornerbacks are taking such a passive stance, well, you know, you got catch and run guys and they're like, okay, you know, we'll take what the defense is giving you. Something that the Philadelphia Eagles could take a page out of that book, I think it would help them offensively if they started doing some of that.
Seth, do you think, and I know you have been talking about this kind of defense the Eagles have run for years, right? It was Gannon, then it was Desai, and now it's the guy who started Fangio. I'm starting to wonder if the league is just caught up, right? Fangio's been doing this for a long time. A lot of his disciples are everywhere. I just feel like all these offenses have seen the Fangio kind of defense for years. I don't know if it creates a big advantage anymore.
I don't think it ever really caught an advantage, in my opinion. I think he's had success with it here and there. But I'm just of the opinion that, and Hugh, I know, will agree me because he played with a very aggressive DC in Jim Johnson. I'm not of the belief that a passive mindset, you know, ever wins you anything. You're playing to lose, in my opinion, at all times. And, you know, this whole thing, we're going to bend but don't break between the 20s and then bow our necks at, you know, in the red zone. That crap just doesn't fly with me. It doesn't fly for me, and it doesn't work. Because if you look at the better defenses around the National Football League, they are aggressive defenses.
Yeah, and their corners come up in the run game. You know, we was talking to some guys last week, and they were telling me basically that there's a lot of corners that don't tackle. But when you look at the good teams that play good defense, that help their defensive linemen out, they tackle. They are in the run game. And I don't – this is part of the problem that I have with this defense, Seth, because we all talked about the pass rush and how non-existent the pass rush is. It's hard to get a pass rush when you're playing 10 yards off and allowing the receivers to catch the ball and run after the catch. That's a tough spot to be in. There were some pretty decent rushes this weekend, but the ball was gone so fast. Like, as a defender, as a defensive lineman, you get frustrated knowing that no matter what you do, the ball's coming out quick and there's nothing you could do about it. Nothing.
Well, and that's the disappointing thing is that, you know, Vic Fangio knows that. You know, I mean, he's been around a long time. And people think that I'm a blitz, blitz, blitz guy. I'm more of a challenge guy. I want my defense to be challenging offenses at every turn. Now, I'm not saying that you got to blitz all the time, but you do have to blitz in this game. I'm not saying that, you know, you need to get up and play press coverage all the time, but you have to get up and challenge people. When you take the stance that we're going to play 8 to 10 yards off the football, the message that you're sending to the opponent is that we don't want to give up the big play.
We don't want to get beat deep.
Yeah, so we're willing to give you the underneath stuff.
Right.
The message that you send to your players is, hey, we're afraid of getting beat deep. And when you put that kind of mindset into your players, you're asking for trouble because now that leads to the passive tackling. That leads to being defensive as far as, you know, giving up the play instead of trying to take a chance to make a play.
You know what the thing about playing that way, though, Seth, that I don't have a problem with. You can play off the ball, but damn it, you better make the tackle. You have to make the tackle. And when you have a team that in the first half, like it was like 12 missed tackles.
Oh, yeah. It was
does
the
not
linebackers
help.
Missed a ton.
If you're going to allow them, this was the problem. If you're going to allow them to catch the ball underneath, you got to make the tackle and you got to stop the play right there. they were making the tackle and they were getting yards after the catch. They were making it, turning around, and cutting it up the field. That was egregious. And if you know your defense is having problems with that, I mean, even going into this game, Seth, we all knew. You look at the stat sheet and the fact that they gave up a lot of sacks last week, you know they're not going to do that this week. So you had, I think that going into the game, you have to be prepared for that and say to yourself, hey, we're not going to get the same kind of looks that they got the week before.
You know, it comes down to mindset. You know, what do you want your players to be aggressive, you know, or do you want them to be passive? So as a defensive coordinator, your mindset has to be markedly different if you want aggression out of your players. You got to put them in position to play aggressively. And I just don't see that. You're 10 yards off the ball. That messaging that you're sending. I mean, listen, you know, and I don't know, it may be one of them situations where these guys haven't picked up his system quite to the depth that he would like them to.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, when a defensive coordinator has ultimate confidence in his guys, and he's got guys that he trusts, like Jim Johnson trusted Brian Dawkins. Brian Dawkins did everything. He was doing stuff that the linebacker should have been doing. You understand? Because Jim Johnson trusted him to get the job done. When you trust your players, then you put them in position to make plays as a defensive coordinator. We don't have any playmakers on our defense. There's nobody that he can look at and say, I'm going to put this guy in a position to make a big play for us. He's just got a bunch of guys out there that's just playing. And it seems to me like he's afraid. He doesn't want to give up the big play.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you try to prevent something from happening, that's exactly what happens. You've got to put an aggressive mindset in your players, and you got to put confidence in them. And then you got to go let them play. Those other guys get paid to make money too.
Mm-hmm.
So get paid to make plays too, I should say. So you got to take into account that they're going to make some plays, but this team doesn't force turnovers. You want to know why? Because they're always so passive. The word force means you're making something happen, okay? And the fact that you're not forcing any turnovers says to me that you ain't making a damn thing happen. You're waiting for something to happen to you. And you cannot play football in the National Football League with that mindset as much as they do.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Seth Joyner joining us in studio here on the Midday Show. All right, Seth, one of the guys that they hope makes plays on defense is Darius Slay. He's the guy that's here to make plays in the secondary. Those haven't happened. And then he's had quite a week. What's your reaction of the week post the game when he goes on Micah Parsons' podcast? He's kind of having fun about CJGJ talking, and then CJGJ didn't have his greatest game. He's a captain on this team. I mean, you've been in locker rooms. You were a teammate. You were a leader. That stuff bothers me. I didn't play in the NFL, but it just bothers, like, as a teammate, I would never do that to Hugh or one of my teammates here at WIP. I know these guys go on podcasts, it's a different world now, but that just, it bothered me that he's out there with a rival joking after a loss.
You know, my Twitter feed has just been lighting up. People want to know what I think about this. And the only response I had was, I have no words for this. And you know, guess who liked it? And he don't ever say nothing on Twitter.
Who's that?
Brian Dawkins. He liked it.
Yeah. Brian doesn't say a whole lot.
He don't say a whole lot of nothing, especially when it comes to stuff like mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
I said, I have no words for this. Click. The first person to like it. So I think that speaks volumes for itself right there. I ain't no need of me tap dancing. I just, you know, Darius Slay is at the end of the road. Hugh, you know how it goes. You know, you give the best that you got, and then you try to steal a few.
I tried, but they wouldn't let me, sir. They wouldn't let me.
You know, that's, to be honest with you, when I watch Darius Slay play, because I know, as an athlete, you know when you're done, Hugh.
Yeah,
okay? Do. I played 13 years. At 11, I knew I was done. I knew I was done.
Uh-huh.
You know, I could feel how my body wasn't reacting the way that it reacted all
before
those
when you were younger.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, you know, I'm over tight end. I'm like, he gonna hook me. He gonna hook me. He hooked me.
Yeah,
I'm like, damn. And my mind was there. My body physically couldn't do all the things, you know, that it was doing before.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah.
When I look at Darius Slay play, that's what I see.
Mm.
That's exactly what I see. You know. So this whole, all of this bravado, you know, I have no words for the cowboy thing. That speaks for itself. That's just a cardinal sin. You don't do that kind of stuff. As far as his play on the field is concerned, And listen, if you ask him to play passively, which Vic Fangio is doing, he can do that, you know, but we need guys to play aggressively. You talk about cornerbacks tackling. You see the young kid, Quinyon Mitchell, come up and make tackles.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. He needs to catch the
ball. Yeah, but I mean, he's that'll come.
Yeah.
You know,
you're
that's right. That half a second, that half a tick that he's off from being able to catch to intercept the ball, that's that next step confidence where you know what's going on instead of you guessing what's going on. But when I look at Slay, you know, he wants no part of contact unless he can push a guy out of bounds or trip him up. And, you know, all the other things that go along with it, you know, this is my opinion. I think the Eagles, it's time, because it's obvious to everybody that this is his last hurrah in Philadelphia. I believe that you got some really good young cornerback.
Let him play.
And you need to play him. Because if Quinyon Mitchell can do what he's doing, you know Isaiah Rodgers, you know, was turned into that dude in Indianapolis before he made those stupid decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a guy in Cooper DeJean, you know, who's been slow to come along. But, you know, you hear Vic Fangio yesterday, he's getting close.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, you got to make the decision, you know, to go with the youth because they're going to be a lot more aggressive. Rather than having, you know, guys who are trying to steal the last couple of years, you know, continue to play out there, knowing that, you know, week to week, you know, the Atlanta game, he gives up the touchdown. I got you, Philly. I'm coming. And the next week he comes out, I'm like, he's going to play. He's going to play now. You're going to see when a guy is done, you can see like every 5 or 6 games, he'll flash.
Because
that's all he got left in the tank. The rest of the tank is empty. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come to the next week and then you get a kind of a reversion of, you know, who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing as far as his play is concerned.
Seth, let's end with Jalen. Are you concerned with Jalen where he is right now? The turnovers, it's incredible how many times he's turned the ball over in 4 games. I know this past week, obviously, no AJ, no Devontae, and Lane, they got a lot of pressure off the right side. Are you concerned about Jalen?
Listen, I've been one of Jalen's biggest backers. But I am at the point of being concerned about his forward development, I should say. I will say this, though, because, you know, he's one of the few people that I really go overboard to try to be, you know, overly protective of. Because I understand some people are like, man, we need to start thinking about the next quarterback. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, that'll always work out.
Because you're probably not going to get a veteran. You're going to draft a young quarterback, and you're going to spend the next 3 to 4 years of mediocrity, and all of this talent that Howie's amassed on the offensive side of the ball is going to go to waste. So keep wishing for, you know, that scenario to happen. I will say this, though. Jalen has shown that he can do it. There are some guys who we wondered for a lot of years whether they could do it, and guess what? They're recovering. You got Sam Darnold. You got
Baker
Mayfield. And you got Geno Smith.
Yep. Geno leads the league in passes right now. Yeah.
Now, who in the hell would have ever thought, Hugh, that those three guys would ever turn into what they're turning into?
It takes time.
So don't tell me, do not tell me, that Jalen Hurts can't find it, that he can't be what he was in 2021 all over again. And to close out, because I know y'all got to go, okay, in 2022, he led the team to the Super Bowl, was a freak injury in Chicago away from winning the MVP. He comes back last year. Although it wasn't consistent, he led this team to a 10-1 record before the bottom fell out. And I'm not going to ascribe it all to him, but the turnovers had a lot to do with it, okay? So, and the Eagles are, I think the stat is they're 3-8 over the last 11 games.
Yep.
Okay, so we want to throw our quarterback out the window.
No, I'm not throwing
over 11 games, over 11 game sample size. I mean, think about the lunacy of that. And I get it. This is Philadelphia. This is what we do. But an 11 game sample size with a crap defense last year, and a defense that's still trying to figure out what their identity is this year, injuries, coaching turnover, system turnovers. I mean, let's look at this thing, you know, from the 10,000-foot view, rather than from, and I get it, there's only 17 you know, games every 52 weeks out of every year. I understand that. But let's look at this thing in the proper context. Because if you want to usher him out of here and you want to bring in a young quarterback, it's a whole new rebuild. Because by that time, by the time that guy, unless he's a C.J. Stroud or a Patrick Mahomes, which ain't ever guaranteed, if you ain't getting a guy of that quality, you got 3 to 4 years before this team gets back to the expectation of being able to contend again.
Well, that's fair. I mean, then you're on the roulette wheel, too. You could get a bad quarterback, too. I mean, that happens a lot to these teams. Seth, we appreciate you hopping in, and we'll talk next week. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. Always a pleasure. Good to sit
Joyner.
In with y'all, man.
It was fun. Always fun having Seth Joyner in studio. Right, let's go back to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Greg on the cell. What's up, Greg? Greg, buddy.
First time caller.
Oh, we're happy to have you, Greg. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to be short. I think if our receivers was playing in these games, we could possibly be undefeated. And you know, if you don't have two of your best receivers, you know, you're not going to score. You're not going to be productive. And my other point, sir, is this. Prevent defense. I don't get all that. When we played the defense against the Atlanta Falcons, the line's at a 30-yard line. So what's the purpose of defense? Prevent defense.
Well, Greg, and I look, that's the Vic Fangio way is to limit the big plays. Greg, we appreciate the phone call. It's the philosophy. I get that. Hugh Fangio has been successful for a while. I part of me is starting to wonder though if 50,
he's on his retirement.
Well, he might be Del Boca Vista, you know, here in Philadelphia. But if Fangio Del Boca Vista from Seinfeld, that was the retirement community.
Gotcha.
It was the retirement community. But if half the league is using the same defense as Fangio, all these offensive coordinators know how to attack it now. They've seen it for years. This like what he did 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, it was more of like, oh, he's doing it this way. Everyone's aggressive. He's a little more passive. It's like a. It's different. Now, if everyone's doing the same defense, like, I'm not confused if I'm a coordinator. All right, we'll just take the easy completions.
I think it's the personnel. Coach Fangio's had some pretty good ballers back in his day.
He has?
He's had some ballers, and he has a young group here. And I'm not excusing him for what he's doing because at some point, you just got to let these guys play.
By the way, I love what Seth said. At some point, get the old guys off the field and get the young guys
you know
on the field.
I didn't think – I didn't think Slay was going to be here.
I was with you. And you know what? The trade deadline's November 5th. I wouldn't be surprised they get him out of here by then.
I didn't think he was going to be here because of the fact that in his defenses, historically, they've been run support guys. The corners have been run support. And they've been a little bit more aggressive than the way that we're playing right now. So I was a little surprised. This is still fixable. All of this is still fixable. We just need to hurry up and not push the panic button, but have a little bit more of a sense of urgency to right this ship.
Well, especially if we can fix the quarterback. 215-592-9494. Are you worried about Jalen Hurts? Let's go to a guy I doubt is. His name is OG Wade. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What are we thinking today?
Positive thinking now. Okay. I was a little upset and hurt over the game in Tampa. And I said, you know what? I expected us to win the game, but I had no damn right doing that. You know what I'm saying? I think by and large, what people need to start doing is compartmentalizing this thing. Jalen Hurts is on now his second new coordinator. So that whenever, and explain to people, that means you're learning a new language, a new offense. So not only do Jalen have to learn that offense, the receivers also have to learn it. But then the third part of that is that Jalen has to be comfortable with the receivers in that maceration. So when you lose two of your guys that you already went to training camp with, an injury, now you're coming up with guys that just got pulled off a practice squad and off the couch at home, and now you're saying, go out and trust these guys, Jalen, but they don't even know the offense. So, in retrospect, getting 14 points in that Tampa game probably was a luxury, because when you look at Josh Allen, who had his complimentary, who said everybody said he's the MVP, looked like trash Sunday night. He scored 10 points. and had four turnover worthy plays that the cornerbacks just dropped. So I'm not overly concerned with Jalen. I hope that. And let me explain something to you and for you, Joe. If y'all feel like Jalen is not the guy, don't feel like you in a cramp, like we're in a bad place. No, no, no. Jalen got a no-trade clause contract. But guess what that means? Howie can say, Jalen, we looking to move on from you. Jalen will say, okay, do what you got to do. Then they can go and go to other teams and say, hey, do you want this guy? I guarantee you Pittsburgh will take him today. I guarantee you Cleveland Browns will take him today. The Raiders will take him today. So if y'all don't like Jalen, don't get on here and talk dirt about spit dirt on his name. Get rid of him, and then you see what you got.
Well, if he keeps playing like this, they will get rid of him.
Who said they didn't like Jalen though?
Right. But I'm saying, here's what I'm saying though, Joe. If you say if he keeps playing like this,
right?
Patrick Mahomes is playing like this.
No, OG.
You know why? Listen,
OG. You can't do this. I respect the audience too much to have this crap on the air. You cannot come on here and tell me a four-game sample of Patrick Mahomes, who's been the best player in the sport, is the same thing as Jalen Hurts. You can't do it with a straight face.
That dog ain't gonna
hunt. That dog's not hunting. It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. You know, OG, I agree with you in saying, would the Raiders take him today? Of course they would. Would the Steelers take him? They would. Would the Browns take him? They would. And if you called up those same teams and you said the line you just said to everyone listening to this radio station, well, Patrick Mahomes also has had four tough games, they'd laugh at you.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes 4-0.
They'd laugh. The comparisons between Mahomes and Hurts are laughable. I feel now the way I felt in 2019 and 2020. You know what people used to tell me? They said, Joe, you know, if you go back, Peyton Manning had four tough games in his fourth year, leaves Carson Wentz alone. And I used to sit here and scream. What are you talking about? How could you invoke the name? Peyton Manning and Carson Wentz are in the same stratosphere.
I like when you get upset.
And Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are not in the same stratosphere as their career goes. Stratosphere.
It is different.
It's not. It's not even close. Like, how? How? You're a football fan. How could you watch football for the last 6 years and tell me our quarterback and one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the sport are the same? I don't care what Patrick Mahomes' numbers are the last 4 years, because I know when the season is over, Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the AFC Championship game. It is a lock. It's all he does is win. And Jalen Hurts has had 1 year where he's really good. Like, we cannot do this. We have to be real about what we're watching here. OG, I agree with you. The worst five or six quarterback situations in the league would take Hurts. But the comparison to Carson to Patrick Mahomes is insanity.
You know what it is? Bad analogy time.
Go ahead. I need something here.
It's like comparing Halle Berry and Missy Elliott and saying they're the same. they're both attractive.
But they're not the same.
But they're not the same.
They're not the same.
In this situation, Jalen Hurts is Missy Elliott.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
No, it is a great analogy. He's Missy Elliott. I mean, she's not bad looking.
Goodness gracious!
But she ain't Halle Berry. I mean, it's just different. It's different.
There's levels to
this.
There's levels
to attractiveness.
Yeah, there is. 215-592-9494. I need a break. We have to take one, but I need one after that. We'll keep the calls going. I need to turn the air down here.
He's red.
I kept my glasses on during that one though. I mean, am I wrong?
You're not. I just feel like it's okay to criticize the quarterback and still say, we're not saying that Jalen's done and he's trash, but he needs to play better.
Of course he does. And saying you're concerned doesn't mean, oh.
I don't like him. I don't understand how that correlates to I don't like Jalen, because I'm concerned about the way that he's playing.
Because we've created.
I'm concerned about my trip to Louisiana. That's what I'm concerned about.
You know what we've done, and I don't know if it's our fault, maybe it's WIP's fault, we've created some ridiculous ride or die thing with certain players. I don't ride or die with any of these players. Guess what they are? They're just here for a brief period of time. They're wearing laundry. We're riding and dying with the Eagles, and the special ones get to stay for a long time. And the not special ones, they leave and we get new ones. That's how this works. 215-592-9494. Are you officially concerned about Jalen Hurts? I'm concerned for myself. The Phillies are in the midst of their bye week. We'll get to what Dave Dombrowski said yesterday, how they're preparing during the bye, and what makes this team different than the last couple years. That's next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Why?
For WIP, I've cooled down. We're good now.
Oh,
got a sip of water. We got our Phillies. What's wrong? You got your Phillies sweatshirt. Thank you to the Phillies, by the way.
Thank you to the Phillies, but I'm going to have to get it. This don't fit. And I'm kind of sorry. I mean, listen, I'm not, Phillies, I'm not being ungrateful. This is nice.
You're a little ungrateful.
No, because I'm not going to be able to wear it. Unless
maybe you can exchange it.
It's going to be super snug. It's going to be super
maybe
snug.
Maybe you can exchange it for one that fits.
Maybe. Who has one? I don't think when they do these, for whatever reason, Double X is not a part of the, but this is pretty, maybe I might be able to pull this off.
Yeah,
this
I think you'll be all right. You'll be all right. And hopefully the Phillies could pull this off. All right, 215-592-9494 as we open our boxes here with our goodies for the postseason.
I want to see the field.
Rally towel and all that.
It's on TV.
All right, so we'll get to your phone calls here on the Hurts thing in just a second. We want to throw the Phillies in, though, because we are getting close now. Red October starts Saturday. We got the game time, 4:08 first pitch, as Hugh tries to fit in an XL sweatshirt as I open this conversation.
Yeah, because this is nice, and I don't want to give it away.
It's not impossible. It's a little snug.
It's just a lot. What do you mean a little snug?
You're going to choke yourself out in that thing.
I can't breathe.
All right, so Hugh's in an XL, and here's what we got. We got a Phillies team that today is going to have an intra-squad game. How about this? They're trying to stay sharp here, right? They're trying to get ready for Saturday. Intra-squad game. We know the first game is going to be a 4:08 Saturday. And you know what we haven't discussed in a while, Hugh? Because we discussed this early in the season when the Phillies got off to a big division lead. Then we were just happy they were. Then we were hoping they weren't going to collapse. We really haven't had the discussion of, are you concerned about the layoff, right? Here's the reality. This has been 2 years now of this format in Major League Baseball. 2 years that they've done two teams get a bye. It started in 2022, and then obviously last year, now this is year number three. In 2022, the teams that had a bye went 2-2 in the first round. Okay, two of them moved on to the LCS, two lost. Last year, it was 1-3. So in the first 2 years of this format, the teams to have the bye have won three times. The teams to have the bye have lost five times. 3-5, despite being, you know, what you would think is the better team. Hugh, let me ask you. Are
yes.
you you're concerned about the bye?
Yes.
You're concerned about the layoff.
Yes.
Right, tell me why.
Because I've been a part of these, man. And that rest versus rust thing, that is something that you are concerned with as a former player. And I tell you who else is concerned about it, Dave Dombrowski. Because the way they're handling this, I heard him talk about this morning on television how they're having a pitching machine that's throwing all kind of curveballs and all this other good stuff to try to keep everybody sharp.
Trying
and they're
to simulate
having
the real pitchers, yeah.
And they're having an inter-squad scrimmage today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's a big deal. And they know it's a big deal. That's why they're doing everything possible to incentivize making this thing important. So, yes, it is a big deal. Yes.
They're trying to stay sharp here.
Yes.
And I get that. So I might surprise you on this. I'm not concerned about this. I'm not concerned about the layoff. I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why. Number one, I do think that some of this is small sample, right? I just gave you the numbers. The teams that have had the bye since they started this format, which was 2 years ago, have won three times and have lost five times. 3-5. That's not a good record. I have to imagine 10 years from now, when we look, if they keep this format the way it is, it's going to even out. I think it's just small sample. It's been 2 years of this.
Yeah, but we don't want to be a part of that.
I agree with you. Now, also, we have been the ones doing the damage the last 2 years. So if you take the Phillies out of the equation, teams that have the bye are 3-3. It doesn't look quite as bad. The Phillies have done a lot of damage to these top seeds. They've had the Braves number. Part of it is the Dodgers ran out of pitching. There's a lot of reasons teams lose in a small series, in a small sample. I'm not thinking it's just because the team has the bye. The second thing is, I think the bye and the rest is going to be good for this team. They're an older team. Bryce Harper's been banged up the last 6 weeks. They could come out fresh on Saturday. This is not a young team. They're an old team. They got Castellanos playing 162 games. That guy could probably use 5 days off to rest his body before the biggest games of the season. And the last thing I'll say on this is we are somewhat concerned because this is not normal, right? For a baseball season, you usually play every day.
Mm-hmm.
But this group does have a little bit of experience with this. In the 2 years ago when they made the World Series, they clinched the NLCS on a Sunday afternoon, the rainy Game 5, Bedlam at the Bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't play Game 1 of the World Series till Friday night in Houston. They came out and won that baseball game, and they won two of the first three games in that series. So, you know, I have more concern with who they're going to play on Saturday than I do they're going to come out and be rusty or, you know, whatever. Let's hear from Dave Dombrowski talking about this intra-squad game that Hugh just referenced.
We're going to play a regular intra-squad game. They were drafting teams, picking teams in there. They had captains for both teams. I'll tell you all that stuff, but they had two captains for each team, and he has them set up. We're going to have umpires here, and we're going to have crowd noise here, and we're going to have the scoreboard working and walk up to you so we can have it feel like it's a regular game. And I don't know what their final somehow there was going to be a wager on this game. I stayed away from knowing what the wager is going to be, but somehow there's a lot of internal type of quest on who's going to win this game.
Well, I like that. A little incentivizing, a little money on
incentivized.
This game.
Incentivized. Yeah. How much baseball players make a lot of bread?
What do you think? If you had a guess, how much is on this game today?
I'm gonna say somewhere between. I would say easily about $50,000 to $100,000.
Ooh, that's a big game.
I'm sorry. What?
They make a lot of money.
Well, they
man.
Do make a lot of money.
They make a lot of money.
You think everyone has to throw the same thing in the pot? Like,
well,
they can't make stuff twice. The same thing.
No. What I think is that's the pot.
That's the pot.
I don't know how it's going to be distributed.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't think that everybody's going to get individually $100,000. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think it's going to be a nice little sweet pot. It might even be buying a pair of shoes for everybody, something like that. Some exclusive shoes. I don't know, but it's going to be something to make them. To move the meter.
Well, they want them to play it today like a real game so they stay sharp. Let's also hear Dombrowski on this year's team compared to the last two that's been in the postseason.
In your opinion, what really separates this team between the 22 and 2023 iterations that's going to fuel this team to potentially win their first World Series in 2000?
Well, I mean, one thing you could say, I do think we're even a little deeper than we've been in the past. That's one thing. Secondly, I think that our bullpen's better. Deeper. I think we have a good four starting pitchers now, for sure. And I do think that the experience can be beneficial to you, too, but only to an extent. I mean, you still have to go out there and have to do it. But I think all those factors can come into play, and it's just, you know, you're talking about a little bit that can make a difference.
I agree with Dombrowski. This is the best pitching they've brought into the postseason. Even with Rangers, you know, how concerned we are with them, they just have more good pitchers than they have entering postseasons each of the last years, especially in the bullpen. They have the experience. I'm not worried about this. I don't think the long layoff, the 5-6 days, is going to affect them in a negative way starting on Saturday. Kyle, where are you as the Phillies are in the midst of a week off before they play their playoffs?
So if you just cut the sentence off at, are you concerned? The answer is yes. I'm not going to make it to the weekend.
I'll tell you what. Of all the people I know,
anxiety.
Yeah, Kyle probably is the least literal plant-based person. Mm-hmm. I mean, all he does is eat, you know, whatever he eats, right? You're plant-based this week.
I'm approaching physically ill.
You are in a bad way.
I am.
It's going to be all right.
I don't know. I just don't know. And it's not that like I'm necessarily afraid of any particular opponent. I'm worried about us getting in our own way. It just feels like we have everything to lose this time. And, like, going into this series, it's not like we're playing two on the road and you steal one and then you come back home to a great home field advantage. Like, I feel like we need to win these first two at home in order to actually, like, have a chance in the series. It looks like it's going to be the Mets, and it's not really the Mets I'm afraid of. It's that, like you said, the layoff, the bats going cold, or somebody in the bullpen leaking oil at the wrong time. Like, it's just all of these little things. I can't take it. I don't think I'm going to make it to Saturday.
Right.
Like, I need someone to hold me.
You need to take a deep breath. We got
Wait
a few
minute,
days to go.
You need somebody to hold you. What?
I need to be nurtured.
You need to relax. Things are going to be fine here. You got Hugh concerned. I'm not concerned about the layoff. This is an old team. Let them get some rest here. The Phillies could get hot or not hit even if they played yesterday. That's who they are as an offense. Zach Wheeler is going to go out on Saturday. Zach Wheeler is going to do what he's done for the last 2+ months. He's going to shove because he's one of the best.
I'm worried about him so much.
I know, but are they going to hit behind him? The last time we went out there, he let up, what, two runs and we scored one?
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the kind of thing that worries me.
This is the anxiety that kicks in.
Can you guys relax?
No.
All right. I gave you an example. I gave you an example a few minutes ago of 2 years ago. They finished the NLCS on a Sunday, and then they had 5 days off, and they won game one down in Houston. Let me give you another one. This year, All-Star break, right? They played their last game on Sunday. I know like seven of them or eight of them went to the All-Star game, but that's just nonsense. Then the rest went home for a week. They came back on Friday night in Pittsburgh. They scored seven runs. They'll be fine. I think this is a... Everyone's blown this out of proportion for 2 years. Oh, if you have the bye, you lose. Maybe the Braves just choked. Maybe the Dodgers ran out of pitching. Maybe it wasn't the 5 days. Maybe those teams weren't good enough. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. All this on the table between the Phillies. Are you concerned about the layoff? And are you officially worried about Jalen Hurts? It's a worry meter day. We're all worried about Jalen. I'm not concerned about this layoff. I got plant-based guys over here worried about everything in the studio. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Whatever you guys do, don't let Kyle Quinn and Jack Fritz be in the same room at the same time for the next 40 or 30 days.
The nerves are just all over the place.
Oh, they will just destroy each other or themselves. all right, so I'm not concerned about the layoff because every year 99.9% of the players take 5 days off in July for the All-Star break.
That's right. Yep.
So, you know, that's I don't really pay much into that. And you just said it, Joe, this team is older. They need the rest. They're all slightly dinged up at some point. I'm not really that concerned, although I am concerned that they can't do the thing that they did last year with the Diamondbacks and just not hit. So if the Stars play and the Stars play well, they're going to win. And it won't matter if you got Rojas. My best outfield is Rojas in center and – Cass Anderson right, and Marshall left. And you can use the guys off the bench when you need to, lefty, righty, whatever.
I think that's the way they're going to do it, Jeff. Now, when a lefty starts, I think they're going to get Hayes in there, assuming his back is healthy and he feels strong. Because
it sounds like he's going to play a big part in this playoff.
Yeah, the Hayes thing has been weird because he's missed so much time the last month because he got sick. I mean, I saw last week it was actually he had E. coli. I mean, like it was he got really sick and they didn't really know what it was. And now hopefully he's ready to go.
I got something on the Eagles, but real quick, the difference between Marsh and Rojas, batting average is 6 points, although Marsh has more home runs.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that argument that Marsh hits better, I don't know about that. I am concerned with Jalen. Here's why. If they abandon the run game kind of like they did, Sunday, I heard them talking about, if we couldn't get anything on first down. Well, here's what happens when you don't get anything on first down run. I need the quarterback to be able to get the ball to the receivers on second down and not be in a third and long. And then if you're in third and long, everybody knows what you're going to do. I just think it's a combination of everything. The quarterback the play scheme is not set up correctly for him and for the conditions, meaning the two wide receivers out and your right tackle out.
Well, you're putting him behind the eight ball.
You are.
The reality is, and Jeff, we appreciate it. Hugh, 2 years ago, it felt like the Eagles were pushing the envelope on offense. Mm-hmm. They were dictating the flow, and now it's the opposite. It feels like they're reacting to everything instead of dictating it, run, pass. It's like there's no flow to this thing.
Yeah, and a lot of times I feel like we make it harder than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Just go in there and take what the defense gives you and give the ball to the running back. The thing that jumps out to me more and more since we're a couple days removed from the game, is that your defense was leaking oil, but you kept throwing them out there in the first half. You kept doing stuff.
On a day where the heat index was 105.
Hot. And you were like, hey, they'll be all right. You just kept throwing them out there. You didn't do anything offensively to slow the game down for them to try to make those adjustments. It was weird. It was weird to see. And knowing what we know about Coach Fangio and his track record, for him to sit in a press conference and say, well, the corners were not playing up enough, or whatever he said. I'm mad living here. They weren't playing aggressive enough. I'm like, damn, that's a sideline adjustment that you make after the first couple of series.
Aren't you in charge, Vic?
defense? It was interesting to hear him say, knowing that he is the orchestrator of the defense.
Yep.
I was like, oh, that's... It's interesting.
Yeah, we all got to blame the person who's in charge here. I don't know who that is. Let's talk to Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
Hey, Chris. What's up, buddy?
Hugh.
Yes.
How's Joel? Is he all right now?
No, he's a little, you know, when Joel gets like that, man, it's a little uncomfortable.
I've calmed down now. I'm back. I'm good. All good.
It was entertaining. It was entertaining. Guys, you know, I want to address this quarterback situation, but then I'm glad we're talking about the best team in the city right now, the Phillies. But real quick, as far as the quarterback control goes, he's on watch. You know, he's on Wentz watch. Kyle needs to, you know, dig that drought.
Wentz watch.
Oh, he is somewhere. You know, Kyle don't there never leave is. A drop. Somewhere he got one. Yeah, he got one. That sounds worse every time you play.
Why do you catch strays, Hugh? Why does he throw strays at you all the time?
Oh, they keep me humble. Because I've been on a heater lately with all my predictions. He's just trying to keep me humble. I have an agenda.
Listen, guy, he's a mess. He keeps turning over the ball, and he turns it over, more importantly, we beat this point to death. It's in the red zone all the time, and that's got to stop. But, guys, let's transition. Let's stick with the theme here, the Phillies. Kyle, you go get yourself a dog, Kyle. Stop being scared.
You know what? Shut up.
Your Delco flag, and, you know, Delco called, and they said you can't represent them if you're just scared. Listen, they're going to be fine. We're all paranoid about nothing. What would you rather them do? Keep playing? This team above anybody else needed the rest. This was a veteran-laden team. This is a team that's going to come ready to go. And, guys, it's game one in the bank with Wheeler on the mound, who better win the Cy Young because he is a Cy Young pitcher. Like, there's no way we are going to not at least split, but Kyle's worried about we need to take 2-0. We're taking 2-0. That team, that stadium, here's what I tell you as a fan, as excited as I was and as hype as I can get, this year, walking in there, it's going to be tenfold more energy than previous. So if any of these opposing teams thought that they knew what they were walking into before and they thought it was off the hook and crazy before the energy, guess what? It's going to be worse this year. It's going to be even more off the hook. And remember, Topper told us, this team's ready.
He
they
said,
and take a big bite out of it.
Yeah, and Chris, listen, 4 hours of hell, as Topper would say last year.
Swallow it, you know, and eat it.
Four hours of hell.
Bite out of it, I heard that.
4-2-1-5.
That's what Topper said.
592.
That's where that came from.
94,
swallow
94.
It, you know, and eat it.
He said it, that's Topper. All right, this segment sponsored by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat. All right, let's go to Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing?
Hey,
what's
Will?
Up, Will.
What's up, buddy?
Man, listen, I just want to ask a quick question, then I'm going to go into what I want to say. Everybody keeps saying Jalen. Do you think if Andy Reid had this team right now that we would be playing the way that we are?
No, they'd be better if they had Andy Reid.
They'd be better.
Okay, then. Okay, perfect answer. So this is where I'm going with this. It's the coach, then. You might as well, because you just said it. If another coach like Andy Reid had a team like this, we would probably be winning. Most likely, yes, we will be winning. So the whole thing is, like, we got to stop ignoring it. It's the coach. Now, I'm not giving Jalen no pass on this one either, because one thing about being a quarterback, you got to learn everything, bro. Even the things you don't want to do, you got to do. But my thing is to Jeff Lurie, too, is if you paying this man elite money, what, you want an elite coach to be coaching him? This is what I'm not getting. We did 3 years of Sirianni and got the same results. So I kept saying in the beginning of the season, before the season even started, I said, Jalen going to have a problem with this offensive coordinator because he's not comfortable doing the things that he's asking him to do. The second thing is you're not allowing him to be who he is, to be able to use his legs when it's time to use it. Like I was saying yesterday, it's kind of like he's confused whether to stay in the pocket or run, or if they just got a clause in his contract to say that he can't run. I don't know. But the main thing is this, man. Either we're going to go the rest of the season, right, and blame it on Jalen and Sirianni, or we're going to make some type of change where somebody else is going to have to take the leadership of the play calling. Because it seemed like we're just going to have a disastrous season if this continues to go on. Last but not least, man, it got to be some type of leadership in that locker room. It seemed like there's no respect amongst none of them. And I think that's why a lot of this is starting to happen, because they're not even connected with each other.
I feel that too, Will. There's a real disconnect, and Will, we appreciate. I don't think Sirianni is a bad dude. I think they like him. He seems like a nice guy, but I do wonder about the respect angle to this. It doesn't feel like the quarterback has a lot of respect for him. Remember last year when AJ said he took the, you know, he looked like an idiot for us. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but when he basically...
Yeah, something like that. He looks stupid.
Yeah, he looks stupid for us. After the Seattle game, he went out there and excused the turnover when really the two players, AJ and Jalen, changed the play and they made a mistake and he took the bullet for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice, but it doesn't feel like he has the locker room, in my perspective, the way he needs to. It just feels like something's off there. It doesn't excuse Hurts' play. I mean, Hurts' play is its own thing, but that it's a weird dynamic.
These men are on something different, and they do things differently. I don't understand how, when you think about, because to me, when I think about this team, I think about them as an interlocked, cohesive unit, and it goes as the players go.
Right.
And the only time that we can have success is if we're all on the same page. That was a given, especially when you talk about the accomplishments that they've been able to have in a short period of time, and thinking about how much that meant to me when I played, going to the Super Bowl and being on a team that had Super Bowl aspirations. There's a lot of times, man, where I can tell you that certain things that or certain beefs that I might have had with my teammates, that I tamped that stuff down because I looked at the bigger picture. I was focused on the bigger prize. And it just doesn't feel like that's the case with this team. It feels like, on the outside looking in, that there are a lot of agendas, hidden agendas that people just can't get past, and they're willing to tank the season or undermine what people have going on just to get whatever it is they want, and I don't understand that.
Yeah, it's not going to work. I mean, that teams that win, it can't work that way. 215-592-9494. Elliot's going to join us coming up at 12:30. When we come back, we dug up some audio from spring training of what the Phillies thought about getting a bye week. The Braves last year, the Phillies, you know, we did this twice. The Phillies were the other side of this. They were playing the wild card. Then they played the team off the bye. Well, listen to that. And if you didn't already want the Brewers, you're going to want the Brewers after hearing this ridiculous audio from last night. You're concerned with Jalen Hurts. Are you officially worried? And the Phillies, there's a layoff concern. It doesn't concern me. I think they're going to be fine. I actually think it's going to be a positive for the Phillies. We got, you know, Hugh over here. Kyle's just in his feelings about everything today. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.